Hey folks, hoping everybody can hear me. It's Susan today, and I'm glad to see people joining us. I'm excited to be talking to all of you. If you are joining us today, and you can, if somebody would just type a quick hello in the chat so I know that you can hear me, just to be sure. Andrea, hello there. Welcome. Bill is here. Glad to see you. Deborah. Kristen is here with us today. Linda is here. Great. Hey, great. Glad you can all hear me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to share my screen. Hold on. I'm hoping all of you can see the screen. And I would love it if you would type in the chat and let me know. Just for fun, our just for fun question. Did you do anything fun during the holiday season? Do any travel, anything interesting outside of eating too much like most of us did and enjoying ourselves? But if there's anything fun that you did, that would be great to see. And yeah, Bill, I see your chat there. Yes, I did get your questions and I do have, hopefully you can be here for, my answer, but I'm actually chatted with Ed a bit before I came to the call today because I wanted to get his input too, and gave me some great insight. So looking forward to sharing that with you, Bill, in just a few minutes. Linda said almost avoided all caffeine, doctor's orders. Ooh, that is such a hard transition. So that's what you did over during the break. I gave up caffeine 2 years ago, and the first week or so was painful, and then after that it was best thing I ever did. So good for you. Good for you. Let me see. Who else has joined us? Deb, Kristen, Tim is here too. Tim just joined us. Thanks. Glad to see you. Let me see. All right. Awesome. Well, it's already after 1 o'clock, so I'm going to dive right in for those of us who are here. Hopefully more people will join us as we get started, but it is already nearing the end of January. I can't believe that. Boy, this month went by fast for me, and I would love to hear any wins that you have. You can see in the screen, if you put a capital W in front in the chat area, type in capital W, and then tell me if you've had any wins this month or this week since the last time we were together on a call. Love to hear about those. Those are fun. And January can be a crazy busy month, and certainly has been for me. And I'm hoping that you folks are seeing that too as you're going through the program and really digging in to some of the work there. Any wins? Anything in the actual program that you completed or maybe you're working on? Let me know. If there's anything that, you know, outside of that, that, you know, maybe business-wise that you've seen a win, would love to see that and hear about it. So, Andrea, a couple of positive responses to warm emails. Awesome. Warm emails are magic, and you just have to be consistent and be patient, but they can be magic. So good for you. Glad to hear it. And Debbie, your audio is reverberating. Debbie, you might want to try exiting and coming back in, because I'm not sure if anyone else is having problems with the connection. I think it's fine. Anybody else is certainly type that in and we can see if we can find some other solution. But Debbie might want to try backing out and then joining back in again. Kristen went live with your website. Great. And you made updates to your LinkedIn site, your profile. That's awesome. Good for you. And sent out friend and family emails. You have been a busy woman. That's amazing. That's a lot of big things to do. And I think I saw, Kristen, I think it was you, correct me if I'm wrong, you were in the Facebook group talking about changing your LinkedIn. People started coming out of the woodwork to ask what you were doing and what you were doing now when you changed jobs. So that's cool. That's really exciting. Dan, you got your website copy written? Yep, got a chance to see that and published to a website. Good for you. Good for you. Good start. Good place to start. So congratulations on that. And Linda just went live with revised website and LinkedIn profile in the process of dissolving your former LLC. So good for you. Yeah, got some cleaning up there to do. Definitely. Definitely. Any other wins out there today that we'd love to celebrate with you? I'd love to hear them. Love to hear them. Let me see. I have a win, actually. I had a, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the organization Marketing Profs. Ann Handley is the mastermind behind that organization, and they invited me recently, a week or so ago, they reached out to me asking me to be part of a training that they do annually. They put together video-based trainings, and they reach out to subject matter experts. And I am just so excited to be able to partner with Ann Handley's group and her. She's a cool lady and a smart woman. And so I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to be doing a session for her on thought leadership and how to work with thought leaders to get their stories out of them, how to get the most out of them in terms of turning their stories into marketing content and their experience and their wisdom. So excited about that. That's my win. Thank you, Andrea. Yeah, it's a cool thing. All right. Thank you, Kristen. Yeah, cool stuff. All right. So I'm going to move us right along. I have actually three pre-submitted questions that I want to touch on today while we're together. And I think all of you will benefit from the answers. We've got some really great questions that came in. But I want to start by asking you what you're working on. What session are you in the B2B Launcher program? What material are you implementing? How far have you gotten? Some of you have already said that with some of your wins, but if there's anything, anyone that hasn't contributed in the chat area, put in a capital I and let me know, let us all know what you're implementing. Would love to hear that. And Kristen, working on warm emails. Good for you. Yeah, warm emails, like I said, they're magic. They really are magic. It's amazing. A little bit of patience, a little bit of consistency, and they can do great things for your business. So good. It's worth putting the time and effort into warm emails, learning how to do them well and all that good stuff. Linda says you finished session two, may be able to skip three, so ready for four. Let me see. Session three is building your website. Yeah, you might want to just skim the handout, make sure that you've touched all the bases there, and see if there's anything extra, Linda, that you can get out of the session three. But if not, then, and I know you have to go through it and say that you've completed it in order to open up session four. So you might want to just skim through that and move on. Because session four is where you're getting into your readiness gut check and golden nuggets and connectors, helping hands, learning how to really leverage your network. So. And yes, Kristen says session three is pretty short. That's true. Good, good. And Dan, he's implementing, he said he started compiling a list of companies he wants to work with. Good for you. Also putting together the emails on a spreadsheet using one of the two of the 24 tools. Great. Let me know which, if you would type in, Dan, which two tools, that's hard to say, that you're using, that you've chosen to use, and how that's going. That's the 24 tools, that list of 24 tools to find emails is really helpful, and I find that usually people pick out, you know, a couple to focus on and work with primarily. So would love to know which ones you're working with. Let us know. All right. Who else? Deborah, I think that's you. Let me see. Hopefully the sound is better for you, Deb. I see that you've come back. So good. Glad you're back with us. All right. So I'm going to dive right into the questions because, as I mentioned, I have a couple that are pre-submitted. And there's some great questions I think that all of you will find helpful. And Let me just see. Andrea, and I'm not sure which Andrea it is that's on the call with us today. Andrea Breeding pre-submitted a question, and I'm not sure, Andrea, if that's you. I see you signed in just with Andrea. So let me know if that is you, but I'm going to read Andrea's question first. Oh, great. It is you. So I'm going to jump right in with your question. I'm going to read it to the group so everyone can understand a little bit. It's a great question. Andrea says, the very first thing a prospective client wants to know is, how much do you charge? I've learned to get them on the phone for a conversation and find out more about their company, their needs, etc., before quoting prices. When I ask about their budget, they stumble, don't answer, ask about my charges again, or change the subject. I have a difficult time getting that information from them. I feel like I'm flying blind when it comes to the next step in terms of what to say or charge. I get the impression they're not accustomed to someone asking about their budget. And Andrea, that is you, so I'm going to unmute you. Hello there, Andrea.
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? How's everything going?
Well, can't complain too much.
Good. Well, tell me a little bit about the kind of, I guess just give me a little background very briefly, is what kind of companies are you calling on? Are they bigger? Are they smaller? What kind of companies are getting tripped up by the budget question?
One was a small nonprofit, a cancer foundation. They wanted materials, to send out to their client for donation purposes. And then another company was a company that produces videos for elderly living in assisted living and independent living that they could use to improve their health habits. So it's happened at least twice that I get these kinds of responses. It's not happened every time, but it just feels like we're both stumbling over what to do or what to say next. And I think my problem is I would like to have a vantage point, a number to start with from them.
Absolutely.
I just can't seem to get to that. So,
okay.
Without sounding like, I'm pestering them about, well, what's your budget? I'm not sure what to say next.
Absolutely. And, what's unfortunate is that when you start talking about money, it can get uncomfortable too. So you really want to handle this well so that they don't feel like they're painted into a corner.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know how far you are in the B2B Launcher program, but in session 6, Ed does a fabulous job of handling this type of situation, explaining how to handle it. So I don't know if you've gotten that far, but even if you've passed it, if you go back to session 6, the handout on page 8 talks a lot about getting to this point. But in a nutshell, when you get to that point, you start talking about money, you ask them about budget, and they get nervous, uncomfortable. They're obviously not prepared to answer that question. Mm-hmm. What we recommend is you've now asked enough questions that hopefully you have a fairly good idea of what they need, what the scope of the project is. And if you've prepared a master schedule or a fee schedule, or even if you use EDS, what you want to do at this point, the easiest thing to do is to say, you know what, typically when I work on this type of a project, it can be anywhere from $500 to $1,500 for that kind of a project. I'm going to give you a broad range. Just to give you a sense, or maybe you could even, based on what you've heard from the discussion, you could say, that might be anywhere from $750 to $1,000. That's typically what I charge. You don't want to nail it right down right there because you still want to leave yourself some wiggle room. And then say, would that fit into the budget that you had in mind? And let them answer. So, let them off the hook almost and give them a range. It's okay to give a range saying, usually I'm somewhere in this fee range. And would that fit into your budget?
Right, right. I just haven't quite been able to get to that point. I'm not sure Why? I do remember reading about the ranges and using that. Just
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely go back to that handout, like I said, in session 6.
Yeah.
And it'll walk you through. But what you want to do is just say, you know what, sometimes, you know, it seems to me, don't shy away from it. When they get nervous, try not to shy away from the topic. It's got to be talked about. You need to get paid. So what you might think about doing is saying, you know, it seems to me that perhaps you don't have your budget completely finished yet. And so maybe you're not quite sure, but here's my range for this type of a project. Would that fit into the budget you're currently working on? So it lets them off the hook, and it helps them to not feel uncomfortable about then saying, you know what, oh yeah, that was in my range. That was what I was thinking. Because they just don't, they're as nervous as you oftentimes, especially if you're new to this, and you're sensing that they're, oh geez, you know, they're trying to change the subject. Just say, you know what, hold on, before we go any further, it seems like perhaps you don't quite have your budget together yet, and that's okay. Typically I charge somewhere between X and Y. And do you think that would fit into the budget you're working on?
Okay.
That really kind of gets them off the hook, but it also gets your question answered. So then you can go from there.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need something to get them off the hook because they seem to be the ones that are nervous about it more so right. than me.
Right, right.
I don't want to sound like the hard charger.
I know. Yeah. So help them out. I mean, don't be afraid. This is an opportunity, a great opportunity to build a rapport. You know, you've identified the fact that they're trying to change the subject. They're really uncomfortable. For some reason, this question is throwing them off. Hey, you know what? It's okay if you don't quite have your budget finished. I understand. Here's what I normally charge. Would that fit into what you were thinking, the budget you're working on? So, you know, just help them out a little bit out of that. and I think you'll find that'll work really well.
That's great. Good.
They'll also have the opportunity to say, you know what, I am still working on my budget. Can I get back to you? And so, again, it still gives them an out, even if they don't say, ooh, that's way too much money or whatever. It still gives them a way to kind of get out of that gracefully.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's helpful.
Awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Great. Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, Andrea. That was a great question. The next question I have on the list, and Dan is with us today, too. That's great. Dan Gilly, and I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name because I don't think I can do it right. But Dan says, what's the best strategy for LinkedIn? And I have a soft spot in my heart for LinkedIn, so I love these questions. I have an existing account with over 1,500 connections. They know me from my previous jobs and current freelance business in the music industry. Do I build a copywriting business on top of the existing LinkedIn profile, or do I start from scratch so as not to confuse people? Honestly, I haven't received any music work from LinkedIn, and I've been there for several years attempting to learn how to leverage the site. Awesome question. Dan, I'm going to unmute you because I do want to hear a little bit about, I do have a question for you. So Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
Thanks for the question. Thanks for submitting it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, I know that you're changing, because I just looked at your web copy as well. I know you're changing from the music industry, I believe, to a segment of the healthcare industry. Am I recalling that correctly?
Yeah, I was looking at specializing within the alternative healing arts.
Right, right, right. So, you know, as I think about your LinkedIn profile and the change, there's something that's really important about LinkedIn, and I don't know if you've gotten to session 5 yet. Probably not, I think, because you're a little early. You just did your website. But in session 5, I actually have two trainings, video trainings that you can hop on all about LinkedIn so that you can understand how LinkedIn works. So when you get to that, you'll learn more about LinkedIn. But what I think is important is 1,500 connections is awesome. That's a lot of people. And that takes time to build. So I wouldn't basically get rid of them by any means. Is your plan to update your LinkedIn profile to match your website? And the content on your website, so that you're changing your job title and all of that?
I wasn't sure which strategy is the best way to go.
So are you leaving? I guess the question would be: is which business are you focusing on? Is it the music or the writing, or do they overlap?
They overlap. The music business has been around a long time. People know me as that guy. My problem is my royalties as a songwriter have diminished so much over the last.
Okay. So one of the things that I can tell you from being on LinkedIn for quite a few years myself is that I find that I know you made the comment you haven't really gotten any work music-wise through LinkedIn. And I think that LinkedIn is really a B2B platform for the most part, maybe some B2C. But I think that LinkedIn really is for, you know, executives or, you know, business professionals, business owners, people that are in industry, a different kind of industry. I honestly don't see a lot of musicians or artists and that type of, that type of professional on LinkedIn. I think it's more for, software and you know, B2B manufacturing. It's just a different set of, it's a different database overall. And I just don't see a lot of musicians out there. And maybe you've had a different experience. But so it doesn't surprise me that you haven't gotten a lot of business, in regards to that, because I don't get a sense that they're active on that platform, necessarily. And I think that it makes sense for you to start from where you are. So in other words, you're going to start fresh with the new direction that you're headed. So I would take and keep your existing LinkedIn profile, add it, if that's where you really want to look for new business and leads, is to change your profile to reflect your freelance writing and really focus on using LinkedIn to connect with the right people from a writing perspective. Because I think you'll get more mileage out of it personally. I really think you'll get more benefit out of LinkedIn if you start looking for people who hire writers. And we talk about LinkedIn a lot because LinkedIn is an important tool for freelance writers. They really use it. We use it to connect to people otherwise we wouldn't be able to find or connect with. So I think if you shift your focus just a bit on LinkedIn and start, change your headline, change your summary to match what you're talking about on your website so that the message is the same. And then start playing with that. And I think you're kind of building from scratch in this new direction, but you don't want to get rid of all the people you're already connected to. They're important, and you never know who they know. You never know who they might be able to connect you with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. What about the credibility question? They know me as a musician, or is that just the paradigm for nowadays? We're all spinning plates.
I'm not sure if I understand exactly what your question is in regards to what's the credibility.
They know me as a musician.
Okay.
They know me as a producer. Now I'm going into copywriting. It's not confusing to other people?
I think it depends on how you present it and how you present it on LinkedIn. Is that, you know, I think that one of the things when I was looking at your website content, it was, I'm using this experience to support my new focus. And so I don't think you should disregard, because you do have that credibility. And now I understand what you're saying. You do have that credibility with all these people out there. If they already know and respect you, know, like, and trust, KLT, they already know, like, and trust you. You don't want to throw that away. My goodness, no. There's this whole network of people that are connected to a whole network of people that might need your services. So if they feel comfortable referring you, then my goodness, you don't want to forego that opportunity. And but I would, again, blend it. So yes, I've spent all these years as a musician and as a professional in this industry, but I'm using that to segue into my new focus, which is going to be writing.
Right.
Think you'll find a way. I think you'll find a way to present it that won't be confusing.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Good luck. Keep us posted on Facebook too when you when you get that. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. All right. I am just looking. We've got a couple of questions here. I have one more. Bill, I know yours, you posted on Facebook. Just one thing Ed asked me to mention for everyone is if you have a question that you'd like us to talk about here in the coaching call, please post it on the coaching call page, the page that you go to find the link to join our Zoom group, our Zoom meeting. That's the better place to post it. It's entirely possible that if you were to post it in Facebook, like you did, Bill, that it wouldn't we wouldn't end up seeing it before we got here. We always check the questions in on the call page within the system before we jump online, so that we're prepared. So just know that that's a better place, the better place to post your questions. So, and Bill, I know you're on the call today. And I am going to, oh, hey, and Francis joined us today. Francis, great to see you. Glad you're here. Let me see if I can find you. Bill, I've unmuted you. Are you there? Bill, can you hear us? I've unmuted you.
Yeah, I can't speak.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put you back on mute. And I'm going to read your question, and then I'm going to just, as I mentioned, Ed and I spent a few minutes talking about the things that you posted, and so I want to, basically, I'm going to kind of skim over Bill's question. It was a multiple-part question. I had looked at your website copy this week and reviewed it, and I had some suggestions about changing and helping you to focus a little bit more. So you had, the website copy was kind of broad. It just said healthcare. A healthcare writer, and to get a little bit more focused. And so the questions were, I'm going to start with that one because that's probably the number one question. And I think once we help you to get clearer, Bill, on that question, then I think the rest of these might make a little more sense. So I'm going to kind of go one at a time. So the first one is, should I focus down to, in your case, nutraceutical writer? And your question was, you know, is there enough money in writing for nutraceuticals? Or am I overthinking this? So what we recommend, and if you're listening and you have a chance, and any of you are struggling with this same thing, is I want you to take out a piece of paper and draw an inverted pyramid. So the tip is at the bottom, the point is at the bottom, and the base is actually up in the air at the top. And in the very top, if you draw, and you want to break this into four, I guess, four blocks. So the top block is a writer who writes anything for anyone. And we want to be really careful about being that writer because it's too broad, okay? The next section down, the next step down, would be perhaps healthcare. So we're going to start to narrow our focus and get down to healthcare. And that's less broad, but healthcare in itself is such a broad topic. There's so many things that could be included under that healthcare umbrella that that's still a little bit too broad. The next step down, that next level down in your pyramid as you're getting down to the more narrow tip, is perhaps you then say, okay, so within healthcare, what's the next thing that I could step down to that's still broad enough, but it helps to just, I guess, helps me to differentiate. So in other words, if I were to say I'm a healthcare writer, does that mean that I write for physicians or for naturopaths? Those are two very different things, but still considered under healthcare. You know, it's healthcare might be just a bit too broad. So then the next level down, so within healthcare, I actually focus on naturopaths. So that's my focus, and that's what my target market is. And so that makes it easier for you to create website content and marketing content for yourself, to position yourself so that it's an easier connection with your target audience. They look at that and they say, ah, this person knows how to write for the naturopath part of healthcare. I want to talk with this guy or this gal because they are going to understand my industry. And then the very tip of the pyramid, just to finish your pyramid, might be something really ultra specific. And in your case, Bill, it was nutraceuticals. So what Ed recommends is that you stay away from the very top of that broad base where I write anything for anyone, because that's too broad. And then you also stay away from the very tip, the very bottom of, say, nutraceuticals, because that's almost too specific and it might limit you too much. The other thing, and I hope this is helpful, the other thing that you want to think about is that starting in the middle of that pyramid, more towards the middle of the pyramid where you're in healthcare, but maybe you just take that next step down to be a little bit more specific. The thing that is good about this is because you're just getting started, this is a starting point. And I want everyone on the call and everyone who's listening to the replay to keep in mind, you need to put a stick in the sand and have it be a starting point. I can tell you from my own personal experience that I have pivoted in my writing work and in my writing business several times, more than once. So you start in one direction and you see where it takes you. There may be a point where you get to where you say, you know what? There really isn't that much work. Maybe I do need to broaden my focus or change and pivot and change just a little and see where else I could find writing work. The other thing is you might get into it, start doing it and realize, gosh, I really don't like this very much. I don't think I want to do this. This isn't really the writing that I think I'm the best at. And maybe there's a better direction for me to head. So first off is to narrow your focus, but just a bit. And then second is to use it as a starting point to just get yourself going, get that website out there, start talking to people. The other thing you could do, and I strongly recommend for anyone, again, listening to the call or the replay, do your research, spend some time, see what kinds of companies are hiring. See also who your competitors are. So if you go to Google, if you go to Facebook, if you go to LinkedIn, wherever you might go, and you search for writers who are maybe in this same discipline or in the same target market that you are, see how many come up. See if there's nobody there, then there might not be a need. If there's a lot, then maybe there's a big need. See what different types of companies that you were thinking about targeting. Do a little bit of research and familiarize yourself. I would never recommend that you go into any target market without doing some research to know, yep, there is a feed here. There's actually a need. And there's a demand for the kind of writing that I think I want to do. So I'm hoping that that helps answer that first question. And then the rest of your questions, you asked some questions about whether or not to remove logos from your website. That's entirely up to you. But again, based on what I just described, you might want to use them. You might not. And then you also asked a question about building one website with a targeted focus. And again, I'm hoping that my discussion of the inverted pyramid helps clarify these other questions that you have. I don't want to spend too much time. I'm hoping the inverted pyramid makes the rest of these questions make sense. So what I'd like to do, Bill, is I'm going to move on to the next question. So folks had questions in the chat, and I want to answer them. And then if we have time, Bill, I'm going to come back to you. Hopefully you'll be able to join us and actually ask further questions. But I'm going to switch back over here. All right, Kristen had a question. If we're using LinkedIn to find the correct marketing person to send a warm email to, and they know I've looked at their profile, so they look at my profile and then I know they viewed my profile. Is there a different tactic to use for warm emails since we're both cyber stalking each other? I love this question, Kristen. Like reaching out via LinkedIn instead or just send the email per the program. So I love being able to use LinkedIn in this way. And if you have a free account, you'll be able to see the last three people that looked at your profile. If you step up to a paid account, you can look at everybody who's looked at your profile for the last 90 days. I personally have always used that as an opening, and I think that's probably what you're referring to with Steve Maurer as well. If someone looks at my profile, I go look at theirs, and then if they're a target, if they fit in my target market, then I reach out and I invite them to connect immediately. There's two ways to do this, Kristen. You can ignore that if you like. any of the activity that goes on LinkedIn. But if this person is using LinkedIn to check you out, then it might be a good platform to make that connection there. So I'd reach out and be a little bold and invite them to connect. You could then turn around and follow up with a warm email that maybe refers to that. Hey, just, you know, wanted to reach out to you here too. I invited you to connect on LinkedIn, and then use your warm email just so that they make the connection. Like, oh yeah, that's the woman or the person that I was looking at on LinkedIn. So you want to just remind them, hey, you checked out my profile. I thought I'd invite you to connect, by the way, and then do your warm email, finish your warm email the way you were going to. So they overlap, and I would recommend using them in conjunction with each other because that's better. And if they connect with you on LinkedIn, then definitely, obviously, the warm email is, it turns into a really warm email that way. All right. And I hope that answers your question, Kristen. I hope that helps. All right. Great. Thanks. All right. I just want to go back and see if there's any other questions. Yeah, and Bill, I did get one chat from you, but that's all. So I'm answering calls for business. All right. So anybody else that has a question in who's on the call today and could use and would like some help, please type in a capital Q, and then go ahead and type your question in. And one other question that Bill had in his list of questions was about designing websites. And I think that initially, Bill's a very talented web designer and web designer, I think, right? And I think that, again, when it comes to your writing website, initially when you first start, I would recommend that you keep it simple and that you really focus on talking to the right target market in the language that they're familiar with and comfortable with, and keeping it simple in the sense of, hey, I do this and I do that, and I sell these products and I do this and I, you know, we don't want to distract them. We want to look as crisp and professional as we possibly can. And so keeping that in your back pocket is probably better initially. Because what I would love to see you do, Bill, and anybody really on the call, is to focus on getting that writing business up to speed. You know, B2B Launcher is all about finding your first client, landing your first client, and building from there. And that's what this is about. So instead of adding more to your website right this minute, I suggest you keep it simple. And that goes for anybody who might have multiple skills, multiple talents. I know some folks who've come to this program have had, say, graphic design background as well, really talented graphic designers. What do I do with that? Keep it in your back pocket right this minute and get started and wait and see if you can get some momentum, see what kind of momentum you can get. The other option is to have a separate page on your website if you feel strongly that you really do want to have that out there, is to have it be just a separate page on your website somewhere a little further down back in the on the menu. That might just one page that talks about your web design background or whatever skill you have. But, you know, it's better right now, honestly, to just focus on getting the writing piece off the ground. There's a lot of ground to cover as you first start, and you've got so much learning to do that I think keeping it simple is great. And not only that, Bill, but the other thing, and for anyone to be thinking about really, is once you get on a phone call with a prospect and you get talking and they tell you, here's the project we're thinking about and here's what's all the different parts and the different moving pieces and maybe website is part of it, that's an opportunity for you to say, you know, by the way, I've been designing websites for X number of years, and I'd be happy to include that in my proposal as well if you have a need. So you can always kind of sneak that in even though it's not on your website. And that's kind of the thought that I was kind of where I was headed with that thought. So hopefully that's helpful. And anybody else who has a question, feel free to queue and go ahead and put a cue in the chat and fire away with a question. And Bill, you added another thing. If I choose functional medicine and naturopathy, but the logos on my site are for nutraceuticals, should I remove them? I think that, again, we want to think about distraction for the visitor. We also want to think about messaging. So if the logos, maybe put them somewhere else. If you have a testimonials page and you want to include them on the testimonials page, you want to put them in a sidebar some other way, or, you know, they're big customers, they're big companies. There's, you know, in your case, Bill, in particular, I think your experience is tremendous. You have a lot of great experience. And, but I really think my personal opinion in regards to the landing page, the homepage, and those of you who've been through the review, the homepage has got to be it. It's got to be that. It's got to be the hook. It's got to be the thing that makes my target market want to reach out to me and ask me more questions or book time to talk with me. It's got to do that job. And if there's anything on your landing page that could be even slightest bit distracting, confusing, or anything in any way, you really want to think about either moving it to another part of your website that's more fitting, a different page, or getting rid of it altogether. If it strengthens your credibility, then find a good way to incorporate it. But again, you might want to put that on a Why Me page. You might want to move that to a services page or any of the other pages that you have, maybe, like I said, testimonials. Any of those pages, great stuff. That's a good place for it. But your landing page has got to be quick and to the point and really grab your reader. And you can always, Bill, I saw your answer there. You'll remove it. Can I just put it back if you really feel that it's, you know, it's missing or you want to, but I think the better thing is to start working with your target audience, really focusing there and saying, okay, what's going to impress my target audience? If it's going to impress them, keep them. But if it's not, then use them in another part. I wouldn't get rid of them altogether. Make sure they show up somewhere because you've got some really powerful background. All right. Good stuff. I'm just going to go to the next slide. Oops, because I want to see. We've got some folks on the call. People are being a little quiet today, and that's okay. In my part of the world, it is raining like crazy, which is, I woke up to 3 degrees on, what's today, Thursday, Tuesday, and today it's 45 and raining. Yeah, great. Anyway, if you would type in the chat a V, capital V, for what's been valuable so far. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked a little bit about pricing. Thank you again, Andrea, for chiming in and bringing that question. It's a really good question. Daniel, we talked a little bit about how he's going to be using LinkedIn and how to shift that a little bit to shift his focus a bit. And then Bill just talking, you know, about positioning. Really, this is a positioning discussion in terms of how do I position myself? And, you know, I can tell you that when I started, I did exactly the same thing to myself until I took one of Ed's courses, is I was writing anything for anyone. And it was this place of, I'm going to use the word desperation because that's really what I felt like at the time. I was like, ooh, anybody, please hire me to write. And because I really wanted it to go, I was really excited and I knew I was a good writer and that I could help people. But I didn't have any way to hook people, to really interest them in my background. I wasn't using my background right. I wasn't using my education properly. None of the things that we talk and that Ed talks about in his course, in this course, I wasn't using any of that stuff properly. And so I was struggling. I was really, really struggling. And when I came through Ed's program, I started to get a much clearer understanding of, okay, I need to talk about myself and what I bring to the table differently and in a much stronger, much more powerful way. And it feels, sometimes when you're starting out, it feels a little uncomfortable. I know a lot of people are, imposter syndrome tends to come into play. in the beginning when you're first getting started, like, oh, I really don't have any experience. How can I be saying I can help them when I've never done it before? So please know that all of these things are pretty normal, what you're experiencing. If you are feeling any of that, it's pretty normal. And I've gone through it. If Ed were here, he'd say he went through it in the early days as well, and in the beginning part of his writing career. So don't feel that you're odd man out and that you're going through something unusual, because it's part of the deal. And Linda, thank you for sharing that. She said importance of simplicity in positioning. It's just so true. We may be able to do. It's funny because I've pivoted. I will tell you that I've pivoted to being a ghostwriter and developmental editor. I only work on helping people write their books. And what's interesting, though, is that people still reach out to me and say, hey, can you help me write an article? So I still ghostwrite articles, even though my main focus now is books. It doesn't mean that I say, oh, I never do that anymore. Just because my website says I'm a book ghostwriter and book coach, now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't help someone with an email campaign or a newsletter, help them get set up. Absolutely, I would. I would absolutely help them because I have that experience. It's in my background. It's just not on my website. So don't think that you're closing doors by starting with a slightly narrower focus. Don't think that you're limiting yourself. It's just a place to start. And Tim, thanks. Tim just posted a question. How much personality to put into the website or the face-to-face meetings? I can't get a feeling for how much of myself should go on the webpage. Any general rules? Tim, you are here with us today, and I really want to hear about this. I love this question, and I really want to hear from you, so I'm going to unmute you. Hey, Tim.
Hey, I'm actually not in a place where I can be unmuted right now.
Ah, okay. I'll turn you back off.
Okay, go ahead. Here, go ahead and take it to a different room.
All right. So Tim can't talk right now. But I love this question because this is something, again, that's a level of comfort. So how much personality to put into the website? I would say tons, personally. And, you know, I would send you back to Ed's website, any of the websites he has. Go back to the high-income business running website he has. It's all Ed. It's all personality. And if you know Ed, which you've been in this program for a little while, you know his personality he's a generous person, and he's very likable, very easy to talk with. If you go to his website, that kind of message really comes through. You look at his pictures, you look at the way he talks to you through the content. There's a real feeling like, oh, he seems like a real nice guy. And turns out he really is. And so I would strongly urge you to put plenty of personality into your website. Again, this is something you don't have to worry about right now if you're not comfortable. But as you gain traction, I know for me, I'm talking from experience, I didn't want to use my picture. I didn't have my own name up there anywhere. I was just like hiding behind my website. I really didn't want, I felt really awkward. And as I've gotten more comfortable and more experience, I realized people really enjoy working with me, and I need to kind of let that show. So if you're comfortable with that, Tim, or anyone else who's in the process of developing their website, definitely use personality. I have seen coaches and other professionals, service provider professionals that have gone in more extreme directions with the personality thing. Like I had a friend who was a web designer, and she did a bunch of different things, and she put a green streak in her hair. And that was her signature. So all the photos on her website, she had this big green streak, and she's got dark hair. So it was really like kind of a neon green. And that was kind of, and she was into it. She was kind of a funky personality, very outgoing. And that was her thing. So, and she had more than enough business, and she was a great gal too. Someone that you really just, you got to know her. You laughed a lot when you talked with this woman. She's just really a lot of fun to be around. So, people do business with people. I just want you to keep that in mind. If there's one thing to take away from today, is people do business with people. So putting personality into your website, as well as the face-to-face meetings. Websites are really important because I'm landing on your website for the first time and I don't know you at all. Maybe I clicked somewhere, you wrote an article, or somebody, you made a comment on something. And so I clicked to see, hey, this person's a writer. I want to know more about them. So your personality is important. It's really, really important. And it really depends too, Tim and everyone else, what industry you're writing for, what's your target audience, and how tolerant are they of that personality. So, and yes, Tim, you're absolutely right. I see your comment there. It seems like we're moving on to talking about branding too. Yes. So personality is part of your brand. And so that's it, they overlap. And so don't be afraid to have some fun. I know when I write blogs, I tend to be a little, I am a bit of sarcasm in my humor. I tend to be a little sarcastic and snarky at times. And I don't hold back in my blogs. That doesn't mean that I'm unprofessional, but my blogs have plenty of humor and they're designed to make you laugh. And that's part of my personality. And so that's just another piece of, again, adding to your brand. And I agree. When it comes to face-to-face meetings, it's a little different, but not much. And the only thing that I would say in the way that it's different is professionalism. So we don't want to cross the line and be too silly, too goofy, too informal. If we're trying to make the other person feel at ease, adding some humor, maybe joking around a little bit, is fine, but you want to just be a little more careful there about how you come across. And again, it does depend on your audience. If it's a really strictly, for me as an example, I use this as an example, I work with more executive level and more senior leaders, if you will, men and women, women in particular, who've been in business for a long time. They're a little more experienced. I couldn't go into a meeting with one of them and be too goofy, but for me, it's finding the balance of making them comfortable and building rapport very quickly. So I've gotten comfortable with how to do that. This might just take a little bit of time, Tim, for you to, I guess, fine tune. And again, without knowing what industry you're focused on, that's going to drive the rules. You asked if there are any general rules. The industry is going to drive the rules. How uptight are they? You know, how are they super formal? Is it, you know, if you're calling all on law firms, are they all business and they just want to get to the point? That you might handle that a little differently versus someone who's a naturopath, a little more laid back, not really in the corporate environment. You know, you might approach that person differently and talk with them differently. And I hope that helped, Tim. If you have further questions, just add on to post another question in the chat. And yes, it is part of your branding. And you definitely want to think about your personality being part of your branding. But you are the brand. You are the one person. And for right now, you're going to be a solopreneur, most likely. I hope that helps. Kristen has a question. Thank you for that. Under industry in our LinkedIn profile, do we put writer or use the industry we're targeting, in my case, engineering? Great question. That is a really great question. I think in your case, I would put engineering because you are a writer for the engineering industry. In my case, I am a ghostwriter and I will work with anyone from any walk of life who wants to write a book. So I don't really have an industry per se that I target. So my profile says writing and editing, I think is the industry for my, what my profile says. So, but if you are targeting a specific industry like you are, Kristen, engineering, absolutely put engineering. For those of you who are targeting healthcare, put healthcare. Excuse me, again, that's just part of the search that'll help to bring you up in search within LinkedIn as well as outside of LinkedIn. Google and the other search engines do look across all of these different social media platforms when someone types in a search. So in Google or any of the other Bing or any of the other Yahoo and that kind of thing. So the more that you connect with that industry in every way, the better. So if you can put keywords in your profile, but also definitely put your industry, in your case, engineering. Absolutely. LinkedIn's a powerful tool. It's the same thing that I recommend with and that Ed suggests with warm email prospecting is be consistent and be patient. And I say the same thing with LinkedIn. It takes time. It takes time to get to know the tool. Takes time to get to know how to reach out to people in ways that work. And so that's another thing about LinkedIn is just, you know, keep asking questions. If you have questions outside of this call, please jump on the Q&A thread on Facebook and ask your questions there. I'm happy to help. Ed and I are obviously happy to help, and we are in there every day trying to catch up and answer questions. And it's been really active lately. It's been great to see everybody doing their thing and asking lots of questions and learning, and it's really fun to support you guys to do this. So anybody else with a takeaway, valuable, what's been most valuable so far in our call, in our discussion today? Anything that stands out for you that's been fun to hear about and helpful? And I know there's been a lot of talk too, speaking of LinkedIn, I know there was some dialogue going on back and forth about LinkedIn and paid and not paid and that kind of thing. I know if you've sat through my training, I usually recommend that you use LinkedIn until it starts bouncing you out and before you pay for it. And is it worth it? I go back and forth. I've been on LinkedIn since, let me see. My gosh, probably 12 years, something like that. And I've had paid, and then I've gone free, and then I've gone paid and free back and forth several times over that period. And I'm still not entirely convinced. There's definitely some nice to haves as LinkedIn has scaled back the functionality of their free account. Now the paid is kind of nice to have some of the access that you get with a paid account. But all right. Any other thing that stands out that was good today? It was helpful. Any other questions? I also want to we have a little bit of time here. If anybody else has any other questions, any of our discussion brought up a question in your mind, pop it in the chat so I can see it. And if not, what I'm going to do is ask you for your teas, your takeaways. Is there anything that your takeaway today from our discussion? We again had some great questions and really had some fun discussion today. Is there anything about, again, pricing, when we were talking about, you know, when a customer doesn't really have a budget, maybe they're really nervous, and when you bring the money thing up, that's always can be a very uncomfortable and difficult discussion. If there's anything that I can recommend in regards to that, is that I want you personally to become comfortable in talking about money, and even if it means rehearsing. So, you know, in privacy, your own little office, your own little room, whatever, shut the door and imagine that you're having a conversation with the same kind of conversation that Deb had that was uncomfortable. They were kind of trying to change the subject. Practice how you'll respond. You know what, Mr. Customer? Sounds to me like your budget isn't quite together yet, and that's okay. I usually charge somewhere between X and Y. Would that fit into the budget that you're developing? And that's an easy way to do it. I want it to roll off the top of your, I just want it to roll off your tongue. That's not going to slow you down one bit. I want you to get really comfortable with just going right for it. Don't let them get away. I've done that so many times. I can't tell you. I have left so much money on the table because I was too scared to just go for it. Go for it, go for it, go for it, and do it in a professional and kind manner. And believe me, you'll never regret getting comfortable with having that discussion. So dive into that. Any other takeaways? Linda says, get them to talk to you. I love it. Absolutely. Get them to talk, because that's important. It's like, you know what, if you don't have a budget, it's okay. Maybe you're just developing one. I understand everybody's in a different place, but for your budget, here's my range. This might help you. Do you think that would fit? And really help them with it. It's amazing what that can build rapport, because then they kind of almost owe you one. After that is you got them off the hook. You painted them into a difficult corner and they couldn't answer the question, but then you helped them out of that corner and you got them off the hook, and that can make them feel like, oh, well, that was nice. You know, they're going to look at you and say, wow, that was professional, and that was I'm grateful for that. So absolutely. Andrea says, very helpful to know how to talk money. Yeah, get good at it. It's such an important part. And I know one of the first times that I, now that I'm doing ghostwriting, I have, my project prices are so different and it's priced so different and it's big, it's bigger dollars. It's scary as heck the first time. I just knew in my, I said, you know what, I'm going to give them this price and I know they're not going to take it. And 2 days later, I had the client come back and say, I'm ready to start. Let's go. And I almost fell out of my chair because I was, and that wasn't that long ago, folks. I was really nervous about it. And, you know, I had gotten good at talking. I think sometimes psychologically the number of zeros or the amount can really kind of intimidate us. Like it gets into your head and you think, oh, these people are never going to pay this. You know what? Put it out there and don't be afraid to talk about it. You are worth the money that you're asking. Know that not a lot of people can write the way that we know how to write. So don't be afraid of that. Absolutely. All right. Well, seeing no other questions, I'm going to end with our final slide here. What's your top action item? Put an A, capital A, in the chat area and tell me what you're going to do this week. Tell me what your action item is. We're at the end of January. What are you going to do between now and the end of January? You've got, let me see, January ends next Thursday, a week from today. Holy cow. We've got a week left of January. What are you going to do? What are you going to be working on? What do you commit to doing? Deborah says, focus. Let me see. Oops, I'm going to back up one. Tim says, realizing the person you're dealing with may be just looking for a solution to make their life easier. Absolutely. Absolutely, Tim. Thanks for that. Deborah says her action item, focus on web copy down from healthcare to alternative integrative healthcare, and we'll submit it this week. Great. Good for you. Good for you. And again, Deb, keep an open mind. This is a starting point. Let's see where that takes you. Do a little research. See what's out there. If there's other writers doing this exact thing, then there's probably a need. Andrew says more emails and LinkedIn connections. Good for you, Andrea. Consistency and patience, those two things will get you more business. And Joel says, prospect and focus on the website. Good for you. And welcome, Joel. I didn't see a jump on there. I'm glad you contributed in the chat. Didn't get a chance to welcome you. Glad you're here. Linda says, get ready for a digital marketing conference. That's exciting. You're attending on February 7th. Business cards, set up your PayPal account, etc. Good for you. And I hope that works out. Do jump on Facebook after the conference. I know that's another 2 weeks away or so, but we'd love to hear how that goes for you. Everybody can learn from your experience. We can all learn from anyone's experience going to a conference. What did I do well? What would I do differently next time? Those are always good things to hear from people. You know, what did you expect to achieve? And then what did you achieve? You know, it's definitely have some goals around these things. Like, you know what, I'd love to nail down, you know, make 3 great connections and keep them small, you know, by the way, with the things that you go to, especially conferences, you just never know, especially if you've never been to this type of conference before. But you can keep your goals kind of small and say, you know what, I'd love to connect with, make really 3 really strong connections with, for potential work, right? Work connections. Referral connections. Maybe you're just looking for folks, connecting with folks who can refer you to business. Those kinds of things. So think about fairly small goals that you can set before you go and then see how you do. I used to do that with networking events. I'd say, you know what, there's 2 or 3 people on the list that I absolutely want to meet and introduce myself to. And I always would let myself off the hook and say, okay, did I talk with those 3 people? And if the answer was yes, that meant I could go home. It was made it easy. I could call it a night and go home if I had met my small goals. And I was, you know, was definitely something I didn't feel like staying at or whatever. It was like, you know, as long as I get these 2 or 3 connections made, then I'm free to go. So good, good. Any other action items that you want to share? Kristen says prospect, prospect, prospect. Yay. Awesome. That's what it's all about right now for those of you in this program just getting started, to reaching out there, consistency and patience. All right. So last call, any action items? Anything else that anybody wants to chime in on? And if not, seeing none, I am going to wrap up our call for today. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for participating. And I'm hoping that you got some good information out of today's discussion. You've got a week left of January. Go get them. Get a lot of stuff done. And I will see you folks. Ed and I will see you on Facebook. Be sure to jump in and share your thoughts and questions. We're here to help. Have a great week, guys.